right, we're going to go ahead and get started with our post-race press conference here at Kansas Speedway. For today's Advent Health 400, we've been joined by our race winner, Kyle Larson, driver of the number 5 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet. We've also been joined by Jeff Andrews, who's the president and GM of Hendrick Motorsports, and Cliff Daniels, who's the crew chief of the number 5 Chevrolet. Congratulations, gentlemen. Congratulations, Kyle. That is officially the closest finish in NASCAR Cup Series history. And your month of May is already kicking off to be quite the success. So just talk to us a little bit about those final laps and kind of what it was from your vantage point.
Yeah, well, you know, first off, we got lucky that a caution came out. I could tell my right front was beat up, and I was just trying to survive to get to the checkered flag. And then I seen Kyle, I think, blew a right rear, and was hoping that they were going to throw a caution so we could pit for some tires. And we left pit road and third, and I was happy with that because I wanted to choose second row inside, and was able to do that, and kind of had a plan from the whole time, or from before I chose the bottom, that I was going to try if I was close enough to split the leader to the middle, and then maybe race it out from there. And it kind of mostly worked out the way I envisioned. I thought that I was hoping I could get next to Buescher down the backstretch, but he had a good run off of two. I tucked in the hole that was there, hoping that Chase could get a run to push me, to get a run to get next to him before he got to three, but that didn't happen. Made kind of a bad misjudgment, when you're going hard and peeled off to the bottom of three, and that was wrong, and then I had to chase up, find some clean air, and thought I was done from that. We came to the white, and I figured, well, I'll just try and run up the racetrack here, 1 and 2, maybe build a run. And my run was better than I was expecting, and he got kind of looking in the mirror, and he entered a little bit lower into three, and I was able to have that momentum with some clean air to get to his right side. And I got pretty loose there in the center of 3 and 4 next to him, just kind of in an awkward arrow spot there, and figured I would smash the wall off of 4, but somehow it gripped up really good. And then we touched a little bit, I think, off of 4. I noticed that he was going to have the run back, so I hung a left and just tried to kill his momentum. I've seen so many times in NASCAR where, if the guy's got a run, you can just door him, and it kind of stops it. And that's what happened. And, I got to start finish line, had no clue if I won or not. I guess I cared, but really didn't honestly care, because I was just like, man, that was freaking awesome. I think I asked if I had won or not, or if I got him, and you said timing and scoring showed the 17. So I was like, cool. And then my spotter was going crazy shortly after that. So, just incredible. But really just a great race from, the green flag to the checkered flag. It was awesome.
All right. And then we'll go to Cliff, obviously, from your vantage point. Talk a little bit about what that was like to watch from your position on the pit box.
Yeah, it was certainly wild to watch. I was really hoping we had put the right adjustments in the car for what we needed for the short run, knowing that the caution really had kind of saved us from dying there at the end. Our day was a bit up and down at times, but what I was really proud of is even when, we had a pit stop that didn't quite go our way, we had to do a few things to adjust on the car. Really the team, Kyle, everyone just stayed plugged in. And when it was time to put right sides on it, throw an adjustment with those tires to try to get it right for what we thought we needed, that all worked out well. And of course, Kyle just talking through what he described on the restart. I really enjoy a lot of the racecraft behind, what it is that we do. And Kyle and I talk about a lot of things, during the week and even on a weekend. So when he has, thoughts that he's described to me before, and then he gets to go kind of play it out, that's a lot of fun for me to watch, because I know what he's thinking. I know a lot of the things that are running through his mind, and just how forward thinking he is on a lot of those things. He's always thinking a corner or two ahead, than where he actually is. So I figured he had a pretty good plan. He executed it great. And what an exciting finish. Yeah, when we crossed the stripe, it flipped the 5 and the 17 for me. He put the 17 on top with a gap of 0.000. And, Kyle's, did we get it? I'm like, no, good effort, good fight today. And then Tyler, our spotter, he started screaming. So, yeah, that was cool. A lot of fun.
All right. And, Jeff, obviously a big month of May for Kyle and really this whole team. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what this win means for Hendrick Motorsports today.
Well, it's obviously the sixth win for Hendrick Motorsports in 2024 as we celebrate our 40th year. And, I know as a company, just really, really proud of what we're doing as a company and what we're doing together and the consistency, I think, that we have, you know, across our four cars. For Mr. and Mrs. Hendrick to be able to, you know, come out in this 40th season for them and have the kind of success we are, we know we have to work hard and we got to keep this going. And we're still kind of in the early part of the season, so to speak. So, but certainly proud of where we're at and, what we can do for them. And I know I speak for these guys. We're looking forward to having the boss back here at the racetrack soon. Talked to him this morning, and I think that's pretty close. I'm not sure it's next week, but he's just as anxious to get back here and celebrate with us in this 40th season.
All right. Well, go ahead and go to questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get you a mic. We'll start up front with Jeff.
For either of you guys, I mean, is there any way to explain to people why exactly this is such a badass track? Like, why is it putting on such good racing here?
I don't know. I think from my perspective, it's got grip, but it's got, you know, progressive banking, so you can, you kind of move your angles around and stuff, and the way this car is, you can get good drafts and all that. The leader is typically at a disadvantage, I feel like, you know, on these mile and a half, because you seems as though you abuse your right rear tire more, so it's hard to get away. You got the draft plus you're abusing your tires more, so it just keeps the field bunched up. You know, I think with the old car, you know, we'd probably get out to like a 8 second lead here. You know, the couple second lead that I got in the second stage was like as big as you probably see in a next gen era on a mile and a half. So yeah, it's just it's always been good though. Like even with the other car, it was always a good track, and I think a lot of it has to do with the progressive banking and you how that kind of affects the handling of the car.
Yeah, and from my perspective, I think there's a lot more tools in the toolbox for the driver and the crew chief here. Air pressure changes are sensitive, wedge and height changes are sensitive to the car, track position is very sensitive to the balance of the car, lanes can be very sensitive. So having the tools in the toolbox of the driver where he can change the inputs of the car and there's a lot more that he can work with, and really similar for the teams. I just think it opens up the options so much more to advance yourself or to kind of punish your tires and maybe punish yourself. I really think that presents just a great, you know, he and I talk a lot about, you know, the pure forms of racing and you know, a pure feel of how a race goes. Kansas presents a very pure feel of a race. You know, when you see guys that can fire off well and then they die at the end of a run because they get their tires too hot, the right rear is too built up. You know, other guys that, Truex at the end of every run was flying because he's so good at taking care of his stuff. He doesn't fire off great, but really good at the end of a run. You know, I think right now in the next gen era, the intermediate tracks in general are presenting such a good racing product because there are so many more tools that we have to work with, you know, from the pit box, and he has to work with from inside the cockpit. Then you come to a place like here with all the lanes options. There is a lot of tire degradation here. You know, it presents a great storm for a good race.
All right, we'll go to Reed.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. Kyle, obviously the finish was thrilling, but have you ever been part of racing that you experienced in stage one there where about five players were involved and seemed like everybody was side by side? At least somebody was every single lap and swapping the lead back and forth, interlap, and things like that.
Yeah, no, that was a blast racing Ross. I was battling him, you know, obviously really hard, but I was also at the same time trying to take care of my stuff the best that I could. And yeah, I mean, I would pass him, he'd get a good run to get back by, and you were just kind of stuck racing each other. And then I finally got clear, and you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to be able to drive away, but I quickly built super loose. and had a couple big moments, and it just brought the pack right back to me. And then it was kind of dying pretty hard. I seen Denny was coming, and tried to fight them off as long as I could. There was probably five or six of us kind of all right there with, 15 to go or so. And yeah, that was just incredible racing. Way stressful racing for being that early in the race, but I mean, that's what you get with stages and stage points and a playoff point on the line. Like, you wouldn't have seen us racing that hard, previous era points. So that was a lot of fun. I was obviously frustrated at myself, and I'm sure Cliff was too, with how hard we were all racing. But, I got done with that stage. I gave Ross, a big thumbs up, and we gave each other a big, thumbs up under that caution, because it was just fun, clean racing, and it was just a blast. So it was that way. It felt like the whole race. Even the second stage, I ran hard to kind of get away, and we had the hiccup on pit road, and, I was able to kind of inch my way back forward, and then, ran out of time. And then the third stage was crazy from my vantage point, with all the crashes and then the strategy and, Buescher and Denny racing really hard. It looked like Ross and I racing, them kind of swapping around, and, Kyle, Busch and I, we couldn't get any closer to them with them racing. So it was just intense and fun. This track is just awesome. Mile and a halfs are awesome. So give us more mile and a halfs.
All right, Zach.
Zach Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. Kyle, that last lap, I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but getting the draft off Buescher down the back straightaway and really just being able to do something with your run, I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier and what this track allows. But, I mean, he was able to side draft you pretty hard there through 3 and 4 and give himself as much of a shot mm-hmm. to hold you off. What kind of advantage did you feel like you had coming off turn two, and how were you able to make that work for you?
Yeah, I mean, even with the run that I had off of two, I didn't think that I could get next to him. But, trying to put myself in his position, you're on two tires. We just ran a long time on our lefts, probably didn't have, didn't know what to expect out of his car. If he drove into three hard, I'm guessing he was guarding his entry to not, pile it into the corner, low and then get tight, laid off a two and me have this big run to get by him. But, he didn't enter quite fast enough. I had that clean air and I ran in, really, really far, and got to his right side. And then, honestly, I thought I was going to be at the disadvantage off of four. I thought with just the way that these cars work, with aero, I thought with him getting packed to my left side, I was just going to get plowing tight and just smoke the wall. But for whatever reason, it gripped up really good. And then, I knew the side draft game was going to be huge, and just was trying to stall any bit of run I could.
I'm also curious how you view this win in the context of what the whole of this season is. We've seen the 11, the 24, the 19, and yourselves really separate, I think, from most of the weekly contenders, right? With the points lead now, it's tied up at the front of the standings, but how important is it for you guys to capitalize on nights like tonight and stack up these victories?
No, it's important for sure to put together good runs every weekend, and I think our team has done a phenomenal job of that. We've racked up, a ton of stage points compared to the field, which has been huge. Stage wins as well, which obviously helps. And then, we've been finishing good too. We've either been top five every race, or something has happened where we finished just, like around 20th. But, those days last year I would have crashed or something, doing something stupid. So I feel like we've just been performing at a high level. We've been executing really well. And, you have to do that if you want to, be at the top of the standings. So, Truex, Denny, William, they're all Chase. They're all phenomenal points racers, and I'm not typically a points racer. So I put a big emphasis on myself this year to be better at that, and so far it's paying off. So just keep putting ourselves in position like we did today, and you'll get wins like that. I mean, with eight to go, we did not deserve to win this race, but the caution fell. Our team executed a great pit stop. I exited a good, you know, green-white checkered, and we took advantage of it, and we're sitting here right now. So it's just hard to win these cup races. I feel like a lot of times, you know, the winner is like that. So just got to keep putting yourself in position.
All right, Randy, go ahead.
Did the finish remind you a little bit of last year when you were on the receiving end of the bump? I mean, you were bumping Buescher, and last year Denny was doing that to you.
No, I mean, it was different circumstances. Yeah, that was at the end of a long run. I was struggling. Today was, you know, green-white checkered, and we had grip and just being aggressive and all of that. So, no, it's just totally different.
All right, go ahead.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. You said you thought you were going to go in the wall. I'm curious, like, so do you feel like you were lucky today or just really, really, really good?
Very, I mean, good to get to that point, to get to his outside.
He's really good, Bob.
But then, and then good to stay there, you know, in the center of the corner. And then the rest of it, yeah, a little bit of luck for sure. Like I said, I thought I was going to, just with the way that these cars are aero-wise and all that, you know, I thought I was just going to murder the fence off of four. So I guess all of that.
All right, go ahead.
What do you think, Bob? Was I lucky or good?
Well, I don't know. Last year, you were in a battle side by side and you spun, right? Like here,
so I was bad then.
I'm trying to figure out what's the difference. Like, are you much better? Are you better driver now than you were a year ago here?
I mean, I don't know. I think, again, it was different circumstances, but you always learn from every, you know, finish that doesn't go the way you want it to. But I don't, like, last year had no factor in the result today.
All right, Dustin, go ahead.
Dustin Lobino, JSK. Kyle, what's the range of emotions when you don't know if you had won to then a few seconds later you get told you are the winner?
Yeah, so, yeah, again, you know, I got across the line. Initially, when we hit the stripe, I was like, okay, I think I got him. So I'm like, did we get him? And then, you know, he was like, oh, no, it doesn't look like we got him. He was pretty calm, so I was like, okay, well, we definitely didn't win. So I'm like, whatever, you know, good job today, team. You know, Kito, like, great day. It's kind of, you know, silent down the backstretch for a second, and then, yeah, I'm still kind of like, man, I hope I won. But then Tyler's like, we won, going crazy. So now I'm going crazy, screaming, you know, banging my head off the headrest, all that, just, you know, going nuts. And I wanted to do some crazy burnouts and stuff, but, you know, we had fresh build engines, so couldn't do that. And then, so I'm like pumping the crowd up, you know, I look ahead, I'm like, oh shit, like Buescher's stand on the front stretch. I'm like, gosh, I hope they didn't like reverse the call or whatever. And I'm over here looking like an idiot.
Well, I don't know that you know this, but TV went with timing. So right when it happened, and I was told this after the fact, I haven't seen it, but TV said Chris Buescher winner, showed his car, they start showing his team, they show everything, and TV was tripped off timing, I was tripped off timing, so like, okay, no, we didn't win.
Yeah, so then I'm like,
yeah, oh. So it was the full play of the 17 until NASCAR
called. But then I saw him driving away, so I'm like, well, he must have just got the call that he didn't win, so then I'm like excited again, but it's just wild. You know, I've never been a part of a finish like that in a stock car. So really cool. You know, you see that those finishes happen a lot at like Daytona, Talladega, and I'm never in the running for those. So go figure, it happens on a mile and a half.
And Cliff, this is the second straight race at Kansas where, you know, there was an overtime finish, a late two-lap rally. What is the thought process between going in two and then four tires like with Truex?
Honestly, at that point, I knew that, A, it's a complete Hail Mary. B, I kind of knew that, you know, it was going to be pretty dicey on the restart. And just the farther up in traffic you could be, you were going to have a better shot at it. We announced our call pretty early. And anyone, you know, probably paying attention heard that it was a different call than what it was before. So I'm almost wondering if we didn't tip the hand of a lot with our call being different than codes that I had used throughout the day. So once I knew that nine cars, you know, total had taken rights, then and we executed well, came out third, knew that we would have a shot. So the your initial question, the first call was just a Hail Mary.
All right, we're going to go to Chris, and then if I can have a microphone on the left side of the room. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris9catchus.com. Kyle, is Kansas Speedway one of the best playoff tracks in the Cup Series playoffs, or is Homestead always going to be the number one track in the playoffs?
I mean, for me, I'll say Homestead, just, you know, based off history. But I don't know. It doesn't matter, I guess. I mean, you're not going to race at Kansas in November for a championship race, unfortunately. But, no, I mean, I like having good tracks for us in the playoffs for sure. So Kansas is one of those. But, yeah, no, it's just all the mile and a halves are great. So, yeah.
It'll be more intense, you think, intenser in the fall than it was today?
I don't know. That was pretty damn intense today. So, honestly, I think when it gets to the playoffs, everybody's a little bit more, like, cautious. You're probably in stage one than we would have been today. So, if anything, it's probably, you know, a little less wild.
All right, we're going to go to Lee really quick since she's right here, and then we'll start on this.
Lee Spencer, Series 6, NASCAR Radio, catchments.com. I'm just kind of curious, when you came over the radio and told Cliff you didn't want to do the high line, you thought there was more speed, but you didn't have confidence to go up there. As long as I've known you, you've been a guy that rides that's your lane. And I was kind of curious why tonight was different.
I mean, I could just tell that it had less grip. You didn't have, like, its normal feel of grip. I felt like the top 4 feet or so was really slick for whatever reason. In one and two especially. So, yeah, I was, like, kind of hopeful that it would get gripped up. But it never did, which honestly I think made the racing better, you know, because you didn't have to rely on the wall. So that's why I think you saw a lot of people running different lines, you know, entering different ways. And it really opened up some opportunity to pass or build runs in one and two. So, yeah, I mean, sure, I would have loved to run the wall. But if it's easy for me to run the wall, it's probably easy for others to run the wall as well. So I was happy the track was slick, you know, against the wall.
All right, go ahead.
Harry Loomis, the podium finish. Kyle, I know you've obviously won your fair share of races. You got a crazy month ahead, but when you finally have time to reflect on this race, being able to win it in the crazy finish that you did, how high up is this one going to rank for you?
I mean, I'll always remember it for sure. I mean, I think there's definitely wins that, you know, you can kind of get lost in the distance a little bit. But, I mean, when you finish and have the closest to this point finish in Cup Series history, I don't think – you're ever going to forget about it, even if it gets broken, you know, someday. So, yeah, just great to be on this side of it. I probably would still remember it, though, if I ran second.
And obviously, you know, we talked about the finish last year with Denny. You finished second in this race 2 years in a row now. It was Kurt in 22 and then obviously Denny last year. So is it gratifying for you? Just how gratifying is it to come back and win this race, not only in the way that you did it, but just –
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that definitely adds something to it. You know, we've been close to winning here, yeah, with this, Kurt.
It's kind of been a nemesis for us.
Yeah.
2021, we led a bunch of laps, and then it got away from us right at the end on a restart.
Typical Kyle Larson fashion probably, too. But, no, it does, like, we've been so good here. You know, we could have a lot more wins. But, yeah, so to get one in you know, fashion where we maybe – shouldn't have. It feels great.
All right. Where's the microphone? Sorry. Oh, Trey. Okay. Go to
Anybody
Michael,
have
please.
A question for Jeff Andrews?
Oh, yeah. Good call. Does anyone have any final questions for Jeff? If not, we will let him go.
You do?
I do.
Oh.
Okay. Go ahead. And then after that, Jeff, you may go.
Caleb Vessel, SpeedwayDigest.com. You know, just kind of bouncing off Harry's first question there. You know, each one of you was a part of history tonight, being the closest finish. So to each one of you, what does it feel like, you know, knowing that until it gets broken, you guys are in the history book for the closest finish?
Take it, Jeff.
Well, I think, you know, for us, the sport, right, and just the, you know, what that does for our fans. I mean, obviously, first and foremost, grateful for the, you know, the ones that stuck it out today through the rain and got to see a finish like that. But, you know, we need moments like that. Those are great stories for our sport and obviously, a, you know, a great moment in history for our company, right? And, you know, proud. Every time, you know, you see that highlight reel, it's you know, going to be Kyle and Hendrick Motorsports and Mr. Hendrick. So certainly something we're proud of. I'm sure, you know, they'll have to add another decimal point if they're going to, you know, try to split that one in half. But we're really proud of it, and of course celebrate the victory. But you know, just a great day for the sport. Great race, as Kyle said. These mile and a half tracks this year are producing some really, really good races and good finishes.
All right. Does anyone have any questions for Cliff? If not, I'm going to release both of them. All right. You both are free. Thank you.
Thanks.
See you guys.
And Kyle, thank you for helping with the media availability as well. Appreciate that. Congratulations, gentlemen. All right. We'll continue with questions for Kyle. Go ahead, Michael.
Michael Massey, Front Stretch. For so long, the Kurt Busch, Ricky Craven finish was viewed as like the greatest finish. And like in the 20 years since then, those two guys have had like this bond between them. Do you think like, what do you think about like you and Buescher having like 20 years from now, you guys will have this race between, you know, someone will say the Buescher-Larson finish and you'll know what you're talking about. Like, what do you think about him being the guy you'll have that bond with?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think I respect the heck out of his talent. So, and two, I think, you know, I think if I would have finished, say he won and I finished second, like I was still happy. But say me and Denny come down to the finish like that and he edges me out by, you know, a thousandth, I'd have been pissed off. But just because I finished second to him so many times, and I would hate to, you know, probably be like, oh, the Larson Hamlin finish, that, oh, Hamlin, you know, beat him in again. like that would suck. But, you know, to share it with Buescher, if roles reverse, I think would be cool. But I don't know, that finish with Craven and Kurt was, in my opinion, way cooler than that. You know, that was like a battle the last, you know, however many laps, and came down to, you know, photo finish. So, but no, this was still cool. And hopefully, you know, hopefully it can hang on for a long time. I don't know, what was the finish before this one that was, you know?
It was that one, Craven.
Oh, it was? Mm-hmm. That's what we broke? Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Damn.
And we're headed to Darlington next weekend.
Oh,
so
okay.
There you go.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, I believe Zach had another question.
I didn't think that was as close as that.
Yeah, that one and Talladega, one Johnson and Boyer.
How was Atlanta not the closest ever?
It was a thousandth off of that.
Three.
Yeah.
I think Atlanta, I mean, there's three cars like that. It should mathematically be better than two cars.
We talked about a homestead a little bit earlier. I'm curious, just running the wall, what's the difference between running the wall at a place like here versus homestead? I know the top wasn't as dominant tonight, like you talked about, but yeah. What's the difference between the two tracks and what it
typically
takes?
Typically here, when you're running the wall, like, you know, the pace is just so fat, like so much faster. You know, like at homestead, you run in, you like lift all at the throttle, and you like kind of ease back into it. Like I feel like at Kansas, you're like just rolling out and then like rolling right back to it, and you're just like on the edge of, you know, slapping the wall really hard. We're like homestead, it just, the pace is so much slower. To me, it's just like easier, like I'm just much more relaxed running the wall. I'd be curious like what Reddick would think, or somebody who does it really good. But here you're just like the minimum corner speed is so fast that it's harder, I think, to do it here and be fast doing it too.
All right, Kyle, I'm going to read you a question from Dustin Long with NBC Sports. Dustin's question is, how much has this car allowed you to be aggressive like today, which isn't always your normal driving style?
I'm not aggressive? Is that what he's saying? I feel like I'm pretty aggressive. But I don't know. I mean, I don't really know. You know, maybe with the, you know, with this car, I'm more aggressive because I know the body is tougher on it. You know, I think like if we were at the older car, I would have been nervous probably to even go three wide to the inside because on the restart, because, you know, if Denny, I would have had this in my mind, like if Denny, you know, pinches me and we make contact, you know, my fender's going to be in my tire, I'm going to get a flat. And then if I get through all that, whatever, you know, I would have been nervous to like run in next to Buescher for the same reason. You know, I get into the wall and, you know, you just, you, with the old car, you would like kill your momentum so much, you're just sniffing the wall. So, you know, I think just the toughness of the car maybe is why we're all more aggressive on restarts and stuff. But, I think we would have all been fairly aggressive even with the old car.
Okay. I believe we have one other question. Go ahead.
Yeah. I, Kirk Elliott, raceboys.com, sports radio 810 WHB. You're going now, coming off this high, to tracks that the last time you were there, you won Darlington and North Wilkesboro. You got Indy 500 coming up. Just, is this the most exciting time in your life?
I don't know. I mean, it stays pretty exciting, I feel like. But no, this, the way the schedule lines out, for sure, it's just good tracks for us as well as others, you know. But yeah, we had a good run last week, finished second, and then you got to win this week. Felt like we'd have a good shot. Obviously, going to Darlington, I know we'll have a good shot. And then, yeah, then Indy starts, which is really cool. And then, yeah, then it gets kind of hectic for a couple weekends with North Wilkesboro and qualifying. And then, you know, obviously the race, the two races, the double at, you know, Indy doing the 500, then hopefully going, you know, getting everything all smooth and getting to the 600 and having a good shot there. And, you know, with some sprint car races intermixed and all that. So, no, it's just, it's really fun, honestly. And it to this point, it just feels normal to me. Like, it doesn't feel like it's crazy different than real life typically is for me.
All right. Any final questions for Kyle? All right. Congratulations, Kyle.
Thank you.
Enjoy this one.
Yeah, thank you.